Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. It has been a hot minute. I nearly said welcome to Inside the Genie's Lamp, but it's not called that anymore. No, this is episode one of the rebrand. Technically episode 178 in total. I was even considering just starting a whole new podcast altogether and making it what it is now. So welcome to the first episode of Your Unreasonable Best Friend with Travis Marles. That's me. Because I've been thinking a lot about, obviously, if you're on the new Instagram page slash my only Instagram page now, you know that I've done a lot of rebranding for getting away from, I need to have a pen in my hand, getting away from the Fitness Genie, which is my business, but getting away from that as like the number one thing that I'm kind of like promoting myself as online. Because I don't like following businesses. I'm just kind of like, oh, well, this is this person who's working at the business, but what does the business kind of stand for? Whereas I like following people, and I'm sure you're much of the same. So earlier this year, when I made the decision to basically fix my social media, the business has been through a complete fucking overhaul. And it's now at a position where I'm not stressed about waking up being like, where is my next client coming from? Am I going to pay the bills? Am I going to be able to pay the mortgage? And typical small business owner stuff of like, where the fuck is my paycheck coming from today? And then having to stress and put everything out into the world to be like, hey, yes, I'm desperate as fuck, but would you like to work with me? I swear I'm good at it. It's now no longer there. And it's at a spot where it has been downscaled massively. And I'm actually happy in business and stress-free for the first time in a long time. So I stopped with the podcast. I haven't done any like mindset emails that I used to do. I've just dropped a lot of things that I used to do because I was like, this is how you get clients. You build an email list, you do this, you do that. But it was making me busy for the sake of busy. And when I do something, now I want to make sure that it has kind of like intention or purpose behind it. Like it has a fucking reason without all these big words. It just has a reason for why I'm doing it. It doesn't have to be super profound or anything. I just want to do it, but then also think it through and make sure that it is going to be something I can stick to and that it just feels good for where I feel like I'm heading. And yeah, which I'm going to go through in today's episode. But yeah, if you've been with me since like episode one, welcome back. This is amazing. If this is your first time listening, this is kind of how it is. It's a bit of a chill session. It's kind of just like listening to a friend's voice message in your car. And then, yeah, you can submit topics and things that you want to go over. But for right now, I'm going to try and get into it because I know this will probably go for a while. I shifted everything from the business to personal brand and just it being me now. So with the podcast, I didn't want it to be Your Unreasonable Best Friend because then it would be, that still felt like who kind of is it? I wanted to put the with Travis Marles because that's how I see most coaches and people doing their personal branding stuff to be like, oh, okay, Travis Marles. And then they hopefully look me up or Google or something. And then that will be my number one Instagram or like TikTok or whatever. If you're here from Instagram, most of you may not know that I have now 121,000 followers on TikTok. And those of you who are on TikTok, if you haven't followed my new account, which is the exact same as my TikTok username, Travis Marles underscore, since starting that Instagram account on the 31st of March in this year, we're now up to 6,400 followers at the time of recording this story. So Instagram, which is something I've always wanted to be good at, but always sucked at, is now good. And I'm more of a I fucking hate saying this, but I'm more of a content creator now. I'm more of a social media manager because I hired a social media coach to teach me how to do that because I wanted to make content that was fun, that was enjoyable, and that wasn't me ripping my fucking hair out every 2 seconds to be like, what am I going to post? And then it ended up just being nothing and then just throwing stuff at it. And then people go, this account looks messy and unorganized. So hired someone to help me do that. So that has been going amazingly and it has felt easier and I'm enjoying just making nerd shit and just doing stuff for the sake of I like doing it. So yeah, welcome to the first episode of the rebrand, Your Unreasonable Best Friend with Travis Marles, technically episode 178. So I'm going to be going over a little bit of like who I am, who I help, and just kind of like how I help them. The classic kind of like, hey, tell me about your business type of shit. But I also want people to get to know me more on a personal level, which I feel like you'll get through this podcast if you manage to stay around with me. I'm going to start not at the very start because there's a lot of crying and stuff when I was a baby. So we're not going to start there, but instead I'm going to start when I actually was a personal trainer and doing stuff. For the longest time, I'm immediately going further back. For the longest time, I had depression, anxiety. I'm assuming I still do. depression and anxiety, and they weighed me down like all fuck. It was very difficult to do things in the morning. Getting out of bed was like there was a cannonball in my chest. Like I was constantly just being weighed down by everything, mainly just my brain. I had a little bit of vertigo in like year 11 or 12. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but from like year 12 on to whenever the fuck I started personal training, it's all just a bit of a timeline haze because it wasn't great during that time. Or I should say when I started my third bout of personal training, which is now this career. Because the first two weren't bad, but ended badly, which I'll go over as well. For the longest time, I had depression, anxiety. I would lose jobs because of my anxiety. I felt like people could hear my thoughts. I felt like they were constantly making fun of me. I felt like no matter what I did, it was never good enough and that people were just making fun of me and that it was better if I wasn't here. It's probably going to get a little bit dark, so get ready for that. But then I swear to God, it'll come good towards the end, where I've got some Ask Me Anything questions. I've got three of them that I'm going to answer. Anxiety kind of fucked me, honestly. I would lose jobs because of it, like I said before. I thought people could hear my thoughts. I was paranoid. I felt like, not like there was someone out to get me, but I just felt the world in general was against me. Not that anyone specific was like out there. If I looked out my window, it wasn't that kind of paranoid to be like, oh my God, they're here. But it was almost like, I like to describe it as the shittest touch. Like the Midas touch where everything turns to gold, but I felt like I had the shittest touch where everything I touched turned to shit. And that's just kind of how life was for the longest time. And I was just sick of it, honestly. There wasn't a lot of happiness in my life. There wasn't a lot to kind of aim for and hope for. And all the advice that I was getting at the time was just basically get a job. Like if you want to go to uni, fantastic. But it was basically just get a job, pay the bills, find a wife, have a kid, and then that's it. And just fucking get through. And I was like, what's the point in life if I'm not going to be enjoying it? And everything I'm doing is not bringing me joy. So what is the point in life? And it kind of spiraled from there. It wasn't until like I had to go to therapy because it was kind of like, well, if you're going to have no job and live at home, you're going to fucking go to therapy because that's what you have to do. So like, all right, fucking fine. Hated therapy while I was 17 the first time that I went to therapy. Hated that because it's like, how is talking about something going to make it better? Turns out that's what I do for a fucking career now because it does make it better. After the first like 8 sessions, I was having none of it because I was managing a pizza shop at the time and I was making like $12 an hour. And criminally undercharging for all of that, but that's what you get. And I was just kind of like, I'm destined to make pizzas forever. I'm going to make $12 an hour. I'm going to do this, going to do that. It's going to be fucking awful. And as much as I did like the job, there was no future prospect. It was just like, this is a job. And I liked the job, but that was about it. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to get a partner and do all this stuff and have a job and blah, 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 like I'm going to need to get more money. I'm going to need to get a better job and get this and get that. But I was underqualified for literally everything. And then timeline is very weird. So if I say stuff and then said I went here and jump around a bit, just fucking deal with it. I'll try to keep it as straight as I can. But after all of that and then through therapy, my therapist just kind of said like, yeah, I agree. What is the point to life? Like there is no point. And that was the first time that I was just like, what the fuck did he just say? And whenever I would tell someone that it doesn't feel like there's a point to life, it feels hopeless. Every time I would get would basically be like, no, that's stupid because you have so much to live for because you have a job, you have a family, you have this. And I'm like, I don't have a family. My family has me. And like, I am a part of a family. That doesn't mean that I have the family. Like if I'm missing, who's going to fucking miss me? Like, cool. And that's how it felt. This is how it legitimately felt. And it felt like my feelings were completely invalid. My thoughts were completely invalid because I would say one thing and people would go, no, but you've got heaps to go for. And when I eventually said to my therapist for probably the 100th time to be like, it just doesn't feel like there's any point. It feels like life is kind of hopeless. And he goes, yeah, well, there's not really much point to life. And I was like, what? And then he goes, well, yeah, all of it's kind of pointless, isn't it? Because we're all going to die at the end of the day, which is what I was saying to him as well. I was like, we're all going to die. So let's just fucking speed it up. And he goes, yeah, we're all going to die. And I was like, okay. Like that's not cheery. That's not meant to, you know, make me feel better. Paraphrasing over the next few sessions that we had, it was basically like, yeah, there is no point to any of it. So why am I worrying about it? Why don't I just try and fuck around, have some fun? And, you know, if I don't make it, then fantastic. I don't make it. Like that's still my plan, but I've had fun in the meantime. So, all right, let's just do that, I guess. And things started to get a little bit better, like marginally better. I started doing a little bit more, started working out with a friend, and I wasn't a PT at this time, started working out with a friend, started doing some stuff. And then my life pretty much became the same as every bro story. I feel like out there, like bro coach style story. of feeling worthless, going to the gym, putting on some muscle and getting a little bit lean and then going, fuck, I'm going to make this my whole identity. Then it would be my training program was my identity. And then on Saturday, we would have, me and my mate would have a massive session where we would just do fucking arms and shoulders and chest and back and just do everything to try and look as awesome as can before we go out, have a massive feed of KFC or charcoal chicken, and then get ready and just fucking binge drink the whole night away. And being hungover was my favorite type of thing to be back then because it meant my brain was quiet. And I didn't know that all of this was later going to be diagnosed as ADHD. All of that was, being hungover was so fun because it made my brain so quiet. And when I had nothing really to live for, it was basically can't think because my brain's not going to compute any of it. So I'm hungover, NBA is on, and I've got a friend and we can just eat food together and watch the NBA. Amazing. That was my life. And that was like fantastic. I like this. And I still enjoy doing that, like having food, watching NBA and doing that stuff. Just now I hate fucking being hungover because I lose an entire day for it. Because now I actually have stuff. Fast forward to working like head of reception at some resort, and that was awesome for customer service and making money and doing all this stuff and getting off Centrelink. And there was a point in time where it was like, maybe you should just go on like disability payments for Centrelink, because if it's going to be this bad, at least you'll have some sort of money and then you don't have to worry about working and blah, blah, blah. And then that kind of set me off. I was like, I'm not going on fucking disability payments because I should be better than this. I should be able to do stuff. And it's just my brain. So my body can still do stuff. I'm just going to fucking force it to. And yeah, it ended up kind of just being that, really. Through that reception job, ended up going to university to become a personal trainer. And it was pretty fun. It was fucking awesome. And I liked every moment of it. And I knew that I was going to go into something with fitness because it was the only thing that my brain really worked for at school. Brain sucked for everything else. I could cook because I could throw eggs. That was fun. Following a recipe, cool. That wasn't too bad. If I got the time to be slow with it. If it was speedy, no fucking way. I'd have to go back and read the same page four times because I'd forget what the fuck I was doing. So the urgency only made things a little bit easier when I knew what I was doing. When I didn't know what I was doing, it was super overwhelming. And that was like a B in food tech. And then I think through like the rest of high school, it was basically like D's and C's. And PE was the only one that was kind of like A or somewhere around there. And so yeah, I knew I was kind of going into fitness at some point. And my guidance counselor, careers counselor, whatever it was at high school, she basically said the exact same thing. To be like, maybe you should go be a PT and do this because it's the only thing that's basically you're fucking qualified for and it's easy to get into. So I was like, okay, cool, let's do that. Skipping over a lot of things to basically go, the first two personal training jobs after university, I came out into the world and started personal training. And the first client that I had, some old guy named Trevor, and he had done his shoulder. He dislocated his shoulder before. I'm freaking out internally. And he's just like, yeah, it hurts when I do this. And I'm like, oh, maybe stop doing that. And I had to look up so many different things, fresh out of university, born and raised. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew that I didn't know what I was doing, but I've always been good at kind of making shit up on the spot. So I just asked a lot of questions and tried to get as much information up front and said, amazing. That's all the time I've got for right now because I have to, you know, do some things here to get all set up. But come back tomorrow if you're in tomorrow, and then we'll go through some stuff there. We'll just make it a quick half-hour session. I'll do it for free. And he's like, yep. And I raced home, like set up everything I had to at the new gym that I had literally just started at. And I was literally signing the contract to be a personal trainer there as Trevor walked in and said, you guys got a personal trainer? I'm like, I suppose that would be me now. Set everything up at the gym, raced home, and said, oh my God, I think I've got my first client, and researched fucking everything on shoulders to be like dislocated shoulder, how fix. Everything into Google, everything into like my classmates at university, some lecturers that I was still in contact with, and just basically being like, what the fuck is this? How do I do it? And ran it all myself, like ran myself through a 30-minute session before he came in. So I knew exactly what I was doing. And then he rocked up and then I ran through the same stuff. And then he was like, yep, cool. I'm going to go do that for 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, he was in the gym. Everything was all good. His shoulder was the best it had ever felt. And he did those like exercises and things I showed him. And I was like, fuck, that felt amazing. And it kind of just snowballed from there. I hate not knowing something, in case you haven't figured that out as of yet, which is awesome for my clients. And I suppose myself and my career trajectory, but it's also very taxing to be like, okay, I need to figure this out now. And everything else goes to the bottom of the pile. Everything and finding that answer goes to the top. I'm better at it now in terms of like priority management, but hey. After a while at that first job, at that first personal training spot, my depression hit pretty hard. And long story short, I tried to not be here anymore. And that kind of failed. Ended up moving in with Beth and her mum and Nan at the time. They kind of took me in because no one else.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It really would. Prior to that, I had been homeless. I'd been kicked out of my home and because Dad lives probably hour and a half away. And then I was living with my mum at the time, and then some shit had been happening, and then stepdad ended up kicking me out of the house. So I told my dad that I was staying with a friend. I told my friend I was staying with a different friend, sold that friend I was staying with this, and it just created a spider web of lies, really, to be like, everyone thinks I'm somewhere, but really I was in the back of my fucking 2000 Toyota Camry, sleeping in a sleeping bag and trying to find spots where lights didn't turn on. So that was a lot of fun, and it was a pain in the ass, but there was also something really calm about it because lock the doors, crack the window open a little bit, and it was just like camping. And then on my 20th birthday, I spent that with a friend who had taken me in to like sleep on the couch because I had a job interview the next day or something for like powder coating. Never done it in my fucking life. And never did. Showed up on, he was like, yep, sweet. We'll give you a go at it. Rock up tomorrow at 5 a.m. and we'll get started. No worries. Got there at 4:30 a.m. He goes, who are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm Travis. Like, you told me to come back tomorrow. I was like today now, but yeah, I'm happy to learn. Happy to do this stuff. What are we doing? He goes, oh, nah, did I not ring you? Nah, we're going a different direction. We need someone with experience. And I'm like, you fucking kidding me? I'm here at 4:30 a.m. You said yes yesterday and you've gone in a different direction in like 16 hours. Who? So that was that job interview that obviously then I was like, oh my God. But the day before that, my 20th birthday, and it was kind of hitting me because I was like, oh my God, now I'm in my 20s. And you know, when you're a teenager and then you hit 20, everyone's like, oh, you're fucking big man now, grown up and this and that. And you're like, oh my God, now I'm in my 20s. Turning 20 with no job, no family, no home, barely a car because it was definitely on its last legs, but I had no money to fix it or do anything about it. Basically nothing in life, really. And it was dinner time and like just having normal dinner with my friend and his family. And it was so homely and wholesome, I suppose would be the right word. It felt comfortable. It felt cozy, which made me feel worse because I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get this in my life. You know, the type of cozy we've got like the warm orange light on in the kitchen and you can smell food that has just been cooking, but then it's also kind of warm because the oven's been on, that kind of cozy. And I hadn't experienced that since I was like 6, I think, or 5, before I had a functioning memory. I fucking barely have a functioning memory now. But at that point, I was kind of just like, oh, this is making me feel worse because it's a family. And my family has been separated for the longest time. And everyone has always been kind of here and there and everywhere. So that made me feel not great. And then after dinner, they cleaned up the dishes and stuff. And I was sitting at the table and I was like, how am I going to not be here tonight? How am I going to figure out to leave and then go somewhere and then just not be here on Earth? And I was like, that sounds like probably the best thing to do. So that way I'm not entering my 20s a disappointment to the world. And the lights went off in the kitchen, in the lounge room, in the dining room, whatever you want to call it. And I was like, what the fuck, like power out or something like that. But no, it can't be a power out because the clock on the oven is still lit. What is happening? And as I turn around, they've got like a cake from Coles and there's like candles in it and they're singing happy birthday. And I had to put every bit of my fiber into not crying and breaking down at that moment because that was the first time that people had kind of shown that they cared about me, regardless of what I could give them. It was the first kind of bit of like unconditional care. and it broke me. And I was just kind of like, oh, fuck, okay, this is what this feels like. This is awful. And I know that theoretically I've had that at some point from my family, from my mom and dad and brother and stuff. It's very hard when your family doesn't really talk about that stuff, so you don't really know what's going on. One thing I said to my dad like last year or the year before or something, because we've started talking a lot more about stuff recently, not just surface level stuff, I said, it's very hard to reconcile what I know now as an adult versus what I felt as a child, because I can look at the situation and go, yes, everyone did the best that they could and they didn't know what was going on with me. But at the time, it still felt like I was unwanted and no one wanted me. And likely because I wasn't asking for help. I also felt like I shouldn't need to ask for help from family. It should just kind of be there. But then also as an adult, I'm like, everyone's doing their best and everyone's busy and everyone's doing stuff. So I completely get it. So it's difficult to kind of reconcile those two against each other. After that first mental breakdown of like, I left my personal training job, moved in with Beth. After a bit of that, and I spent 6 months basically in bed until eventually I chopped down a fucking tree branch. And then I was like, that felt kind of good. And then snowballed it from there of getting out of the house and doing something. I just saw the time, I was like 21 minutes. I swear to God, I was only talking for like 2 seconds. Eventually snowballed that into getting out of the house and doing something. And 6 months later, I messaged everyone that I had previously canceled personal training with indefinitely and said, hey, I'm coming back. I'm only going to be on limited times, blah, blah, blah. Let me know what you want. And then I started things up again. It was basically a mirror image of the first time. I burnt myself out, gave way too much to my clients, and I didn't know how to take care of myself. So all of my time, energy, and effort went into my clients, and I was seeing absolutely no fucking return for that. To skip over a large part in the middle here, found a business coach. He was a fuckwit, spent a lot of money, learned a lot about what I don't want from a business and from how I want to be as an adult or business owner or anything in the future. That was that journey. It fucking sucked, but it was also kind of good to learn that stuff. And after the second breakdown of like this, like coming back after my first breakdown to the same point and then burnt myself out. Second point, I was like, yep, I'm not going back. I can't even be a personal trainer. The only job that has ever made me happy. So I'm just going to fucking end it. And obviously I was with Beth at the time and well, still am, was and still am with Beth. And I just remember sitting in the car because it was after a basketball game. And I'm not going to go into the details about the basketball game, but got banned for 5 years from basketball because I super short. I was standing there. If those of you who don't know about basketball, you're just going to have to deal with me for 1 second. For those who do, make this make sense. Obviously, it was at Frankston. So there's a context you need. But I stood there for a charge for a good 3 seconds. And then just before the dude fucking fell into me, like jumped on top of me, basically, he passed the ball away. So I looked at the dinosaur ref advisor and went, hey, why is that not a charge? And she goes, he passed the ball off. So I went, okay. I got the ball, picked up as much speed as I possibly could. And just before I shoulder charge this dude into the wall, I pass the ball off and he goes into the wall. She calls a charge. I say, why did you call that charge? She goes, because you ran into him. And I said, yeah, but I passed the ball off. And she goes, don't be a smart ass. You're just like your father, because she's that old that she used to ref my dad when he was playing as a kid. So I said some things. I said, well, it's good to know that you can actually use your fucking whistle for what it's meant to be used for. Something along those lines. And then she teed me up. So as I was walking off with that ejection, I spat on the bench. And it was probably about 2 meters away from me, in front of me. I was just off the court, like taking my last step to get off the court. And then I spat on the bench. Other ref saw that because she was 1 meter behind me. She teched me up again. That's my double tech. So I'm leaving. And I got ejected. And yeah, obviously I'm dealing with a lot of things right now mentally and dealing with someone who doesn't really like me and isn't that good at their job. Last thing I want to do. But as I'm leaving the court, that's where she goes, you're just like your dad, like dickhead, just like your dad or something like that. I remember she said something about my dad in a negative way. And I was like, okay, I had a 2 liter juice bottle at the time that I had filled up with water as my water bottle. So I unscrewed the lid just a bit, hurled it in the air as high as I could. It came down onto the court and it fucking broke and shattered and went everywhere. She said, you've got to clean that up now. And I'm going, oh, sorry, I'm ejected. I've got to leave. Which one do you want? She goes, I want you to clean this up. I'm like, well, you should have fucking changed your mind before you teed me up for the stuff that happened previously, because like stop changing your mind on rules and stuff just because you don't like me. Then she's like, get out and this and that, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is the part. I take full responsibility for everything that I did. This is the part that I'm like, that's not really my fault, but it kind of is. This following part. I didn't realize a week before they had fixed the front door to the place. So instead of it swinging the full 180 degrees like it used to, it now only swings like 90 degrees. Me thinking that it swings the full 180, I'm pressing down on the handle and I go to push it outward because it's a push door. Push the handle down and I swing it as hard as I can because I know it's going to pick up in the fucking wind, and every time I've gone to push it, it's been fucking difficult. So I pick it up and I just hurl it. It stops at 90 degrees and all the glass in it just shatters. You can see the security camera footage because they sent it to me, where I am startled and then I just walk off where it happens and I go, oh shit, like I didn't expect that to happen. I freeze for like a second or two and then I just walk off. And then they were like, blah, 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 blah. You're going to have to pay for that. And I said, sure, I'm not going to pay for it, but send me the invoice. They sent me the invoice. And then 4 weeks later, they were like, hey, we're still waiting on money. And I'm like, I never agreed to pay it. I just said, send me the invoice, and never heard from them again. A week later was the tribunal. I didn't go because I had a psychologist appointment that same day and time. And I figured it was probably better to go speak to someone about not wanting to kill myself than trying to like, hey, no, please don't ban me because I want to be here. Later found out that at the tribunal, both of the refs had blatantly lied, as they do at Frankston. They had blatantly lied about what was actually on the report and what actually happened. They said that I spat at the ref and that I hit her with my spit. Complete fabrication. And the other ref, the dinosaur ref, said that I was screaming in her face and both of the refs felt physically threatened and they wanted to call the police but were too scared to. Didn't get within three meters of any of the refs, except for when obviously I was walking past one of the refs by about 2 meters to get off the court. That was it. I know that that's the truth because I had both teams on that night, my team and the other team. Both of them said, that's not right. And they were actually willing to and reached out to me to say, do you want us to sign something to say that that is a complete fabrication and it's made up and stuff? Because none of that happened. And I was like, oh, nah, just leave it because I really don't want to go back. And if I have a 5-year imposed ban, then fantastic. I'm forced to not go back. So here we are. That was like 10 years ago now because I've been able to go back and play basketball for a while now. Plus I'm medicated. So hey, no more anger outbursts. / not as many. So yeah, that's why that happened. I used to struggle with anger massively. Massive, massive anger outbursts. I would just randomly put holes in walls. I would try to just smash things as much as I could because it just tickled that part of my brain that needed to see things break and crack and smash. That being said, I never did anything to hurt anyone and never will because I fucking hate feeling like that. But inanimate objects, oh my God, I'm coming for you. So that's where I was. And fast forward all the time, when I eventually got a little bit healthier and I was like, okay, what's the last time that I actually felt okay and happy with my life and myself? It was when I was doing personal training. So to get a job and to get back out there and all these things, I kind of made a pact with myself that if I start personal training for a third time, it will be the final time. Either I'm going to crash out and I'm not going to be here anymore because that is what I'm going to do. If I fail at being a personal trainer, I'm going to end things. That's it. Full stop. And that kind of became the pact for me that started my work ethic because I didn't want to be alone with my thoughts because they wanted me to fail. And I would work 14, 15 hour days to exhaustion because that way it was easier to deal with my thoughts in my brain. And that kind of worked in the sense of building a business because I was there at 5 a.m. Like I was at the gym at 5 a.m. and I was leaving at 8 o'clock at night. Building a business, yeah, it worked. But then after a while, I was so tired. Like I ended up calculating the hours that I did with my psychologist because I was like, oh, I'd kind of work these hours. Like it's not that much. And we kind of calculated it at 73 hours a week. And no one can really sustain that, particularly a physical job. No one can really sustain that for that long. And I didn't, which is fun. But I wasn't going to give up because I knew what the alternative was. And as I started making a little bit of money, I thought, okay, well, this is how I'm going to give Beth a life that she deserves because she literally saved my life. So I kept going and kept going. And after a while of burning out and then eventually realizing, hey, I can't exactly keep this up if we're going to start a family. Plus, I barely see you at the moment anyway because I'm working to make this money so that we can spend more time together, but we're not even spending time together because I'm making all this money. Had to deal with that therapy and business coaches and all that stuff to figure out how the fuck am I going to get through this. Obviously figured it all out. But somewhere in the middle there, this is where things got a little bit messy. Somewhere in the middle there, I ended up becoming a mindset coach, and I had no intention to at all. And it was because as I was building out this program that was, I've been online, like an online coach since 2017, 2018, like 2-3 years before COVID. And developing that program, it was like, okay, how do I take personal training basically online? Because I specialize in, at the time, being able to get the very small technique form adjustments to get what the people need, like to be able to feel a muscle and then do stupid analogies and things to be able to get them to do. I was good at personal training, still very much in. Had to upskill in nutrition, did some courses in nutrition, which was amazing. Now nutrition is one of my biggest, strongest suits. But as I found out, talking to people, and I was like, okay, well, you're going to get an hour call every week, which at the moment is now a 45-minute call. I was like, I'm going to call you every week. And we're going to talk about everything that was good, that was bad, what's going on. And I found out that just asking the right questions at the right time was super beneficial for everyone. A lot of the calls that I ended up taking with clients was more about just them feeling better and having someone to vent to and rant to and get everything off their chest. And then at the end of it, I'd give them like, okay, well, this week, let's just focus on, you know, you said you're really struggling with dinner, so let's just make dinner the thing that we focus on. Don't worry about anything else. Let's just do dinner. And the more I went into that, the more I went into therapy, the more I looked into myself, the more I looked into just kind of human persuasion and cognitive behavioral therapy. And
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just everything in terms of like, how do I get this person to do what I want to do without it feeling like they are being forced to do it? Because as much as it was looking into how do I get myself to do it, it was very easy to do it for someone else because obviously I know the dumb, no one takes their own advice. I know the dumb shit that I've done. But when you see someone online and it is just that presence that it's like, oh, they know what they're talking about. They're the authority. They have this many followers, blah, blah, blah. And you just see them as that complete stranger, but you'll tell them shit that I have clients on our very first call together. They tell me stuff that they haven't told their partner that they've been, I was about to say friends with, oh, hopefully you're friends with your partner, but they've been partnered with for like 10, 20 years, 30 years. They're on the first call with me. We're like 12 minutes in to like, hey, why do you want coaching? Like, what are you looking for? And I go, have you spoken to your partner about this? They go, no, I can't talk to my partner about it. Why the fuck not? And all of that stuff just kind of didn't make sense to me because I'm like, if I have a partner and I'm feeling like this or they're feeling like this, I want them to come to me. I want to be able to come to them. And we have that communication and dialogue to be able to just go, what's going on? Even if there's no solution at the end of it, to just feel heard. Doing that for my clients was... It ended up becoming one of the biggest things that I do for my clients. The nutrition and the workouts, I could give them the best program in the world, but being able to talk to them and see the changes happening in their mind and their belief systems and thought patterns in that moment, and then getting messages from them a few days later to be like, hey, I've been thinking about it and holy shit, this and this and this, and they're connecting the dots. That's the stuff that I was like, oh my God, okay, I'm starting to get a bit of a talent for this. How do I even talk about this and package it? Over years and years of doing that, I then kind of just became a health and mindset coach. Most people do come to me for weight loss. I'm very good at helping people lose weight. I used to work with a lot of brides at the time. I used to work with a lot of women that just wanted to be brides. And it was like, oh, if you're getting married, go see this guy because he's good at getting results. And on top of that, then came the mindset stuff. And it all just kind of went together and I dropped the aggressive weight loss stuff and then just started moving into, well, yeah, they look amazing on their day, but then they feel like shit 3 months later when they're out of the dress and they're like, oh, look how like skinny I was or like this that I was 3 months ago. And it's like, yeah, you look amazing. But like, I remember 2 days before you weren't even that happy. Like you were like, oh, I still have to lose weight. I still have to do this. I still got to do that. And now they're in the exact same thing, just in a slightly different body. So flipping it around on its head was more of just like, let's focus on the good things, focus on the things that make you happy because You'll be happier by being happier on the day than worrying about what you're eating beforehand or dress size or this and that and whatever. Plus, the way that I did it was kind of like, let's get you to 3 months and then we'll maintain from there. Because 3 months and then maintaining from there, one, I didn't have to worry about reverse diet and all that stuff. But then two, you didn't have to worry about alterations. So you're saving money from not altering your dress by even more because we're just maintaining for the next 3 months as we keep an eye on things, get to the wedding date, and then boom, done. So weight loss and things, easy. The easiest thing that I do in the sense of like, how do I get someone this result? But it naturally shifted into how do I help someone be happier? How do I help someone get out of the rut that they're in and basically take back control of their life and their health? Because that's what I felt like most people were wanting. And as it slowly went away from weight loss, most people said, these are the catchphrases. I know what I need to do, but I just don't do it. I want to lose weight, but I don't want to lose weight. I would just like to lose weight by knowing that it's doing things that make me healthy. Because every time I've lost weight and I've focused on losing weight, I've ended up crashing and burning and putting all the weight back on. So it feels weird when people come to me, like they feel weird when they come to me or hypocritical because they go, I want to lose weight, but I don't want to focus on losing weight. And when I go, yeah, that's exactly what I do. They go, okay, how? How the fuck does it work? And putting the mental health and everything first is what gets the physical results. Same thing would happen to me. When I put my mental health first, I ended up going to the gym more because I didn't feel like a piece of shit anymore. When I was going to the gym, but I felt like a piece of shit, that's where it was a little bit like, okay, well, I'm going to have to do this forever. And like the negative mindset came in and I don't give a shit where the motivation comes from as long as we're doing something about it. Which is why I always tell my clients, you can complain, you can yell, you can do whatever you want. You can have a tantrum and get it all out as long as we're doing something about it. That's it. So yeah, I didn't really mean to become a mindset coach in who I am. It just kind of happened as I got mentally healthier. I found out that I was very good at helping people go through the things that I had gone through. And when I turned, not when I turned 28, but when I was 28, getting diagnosed with ADHD, it didn't really all make sense, like instant clarity to be like, oh, that's what I'm doing. I had no idea what the fuck ADHD is. I'm like, but I can focus on some stuff. Like, why do I have ADHD? And I was against the idea that I had ADHD because one of my friends got diagnosed. He started medication and he was telling me everything that was going on. And Beth was just looking at me with like fucking cartoon eyes to be like, that's you. You do all of that, but worse. And I'm like, ah, cool. But like, you know, that's not me though. I didn't want to take ADHD medication because every time that I'd taken medication in the past, it zoned me out. It zombified me. And I really didn't want to do that again. And I asked my psych a laundry list of questions to be like, does it help with anger outbursts? And it was like, yes. Am I going to lose my personality? And he goes, not really. Like, it's not really something that we do. It kind of just brings the thoughts into alignment so you can deal with them one at a time instead of all at once. And as I found out, it didn't fuck my personality. It didn't do anything really negative. There were some side effects on different medications that I tried. And the major side effect that I have from this medication that I'm on at the moment, which is Vyvanse, is I just have to pee a lot. That's basically it. Like every 2 hours, I feel like I'm having to go to the toilet. That's about it. And I'm like, I'll take that side effect over all of the other ones that made me want to put holes in walls because like Ritalin, because it was just way too powerful for me. But different brain chemistries, different experiences, different whatevers are going to react to different medications. So it's completely different from person to person. And this one works for me. So ended up taking the medication and things got easier from there. And it also kind of annoyed me because I go, are you fucking kidding me? Is this what normal people are doing? Could you imagine if I had this when I was 20 and dealing with all my mental health shit and everyone was just giving me stuff to basically numb me out because it was like, oh, you want to die? So take this. At least you're not feeling anything. And I took myself off my antidepressants because I was like, I would rather feel something negative than nothing and just kind of flow through life, not experiencing anything. Eating a pizza and doing stuff and it not being that good, just being like, yeah, this is food. And that's it. I hated it. So I took myself off against doctor's orders, but took myself off. And then, yeah, everything kind of snowballed as to where I am today, helping people overcome the issues that I was facing. And it ended up being a very good thing. I never thought that I would have this life. I never thought I'd be alive right now. So everything that I'm dealing with is kind of bonus points and bonus time. I never say lucky because it feels like I've just lucked into it. It like you just found this life on the ground. I like to say fortunate because, yeah, I've been through a lot and I've had a lot of help along the way. I also had to put in a lot of fucking work to be able to get here. And I say that to all my clients as well. When they finish with me, they're like, thank you so much. You've given me everything. I'm like, I did fuck all. I pointed the way and you were the one that ran. No one No marathon runner is going to thank the course instructor for being like, hey, thank you for setting this course up. It was amazing. Because of you, I was able to do this course in whatever time. And no, you put in the effort and the training and everything. You're the one that fucking did it all. You probably just had a trainer to be like, okay, well, this is how we're going to do it. This is where you're going to go. This is where you're going to run. I just point the direction and you do all the work. So that's my belief anywho. And I forgot about podcasts and how much I end up losing my voice. It all just kind of came together. And I like it. I like this life that I've built. And I like keeping things simple. Life always seems complicated enough, or it already seems complicated enough. And I don't feel like we need to add to the complexity of it. Pretty much everything that I've done in life so far to get to here, whenever I've kept it simple, it's usually ended up way better. Whenever there's a complicated idea or situation or circumstance or anything, usually trying to get the fuck out of that situation or trying to find a way to simplify it if I can't get out of it works out nearly every single goddamn time. So that's why I like when people sign up to just keep it simple, to just go, hey, don't worry about everything that you've done in the past. Don't worry about this or that or whatever. We're going to start completely fresh. Here's where we are today. Where do you want to be next week? How would you like to be feeling next week? And then just kind of give one thing from there and just let it all accumulate. Because yeah, I never thought that I would be someone who plays Dungeons and Dragons, let alone be a fucking dungeon master for it or a forever DM. None of that was in the cards. Living this long was not even in the cards. So being homeless and suicidal and all of the things that the storybooks tell you, it's almost like a different person. Like when I recall all the memories and go through it all, it's almost like a completely different person. Because my business last year, I think in like 5 years or something, hit $1 million. I was chasing money for the longest time to try and be happy, to make up for the fact that I never had all the nice things as a kid. The more that I ended up chasing the number and chasing money, the more depressed and sad that I got, because I would make $10,000 a month. It wouldn't be enough. $20,000 wouldn't be a month. It wouldn't be enough. I made just shy of $250,000 in like 4 months. I still wasn't happy with it because it was just shy of $250,000. I was like, yeah, $250,000 though in 4 months, that would have been like, if I could do that again, that's $1 million a year. That's fucking amazing. Critically, I have $1 million business because I've been in business long enough. Last year in like 5 years or 6 years or something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but $1 million. And it just kind of hit me to be like, first off, where the fuck is all my money? Because I don't have that anymore. And then I realized that because I had the money, I was spending it. I was very egotistical. I was chasing the money and being like, oh, do you know who I am? I made this much money and I did this and I'm going to be the best business coach in the world and blah, blah, blah. And just did what any 20-something year old would do when they start seeing a lot of money, bragging about it. And it started to get to a point where, fuck, I don't think I can keep my staff on because it started to hit the point where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing because I can't bring more clients in. I can't bring more money in. I can't do this. I can't do that. And theoretically, it was just a really good economy that I was selling in. It had nothing to do with my skill set, I believe. It had nothing to do with my skill set. It just happened at a really good time where I had something that was different. And because I talk about women's health so much and menstrual cycles and periods and hormones and weight fluctuations and the mentality behind and like the belief systems and thought patterns behind when the scale goes up and what to do and how to do this, I was talking about all of that at a time where none of it was really talked about. So when COVID kind of hit and I was already online, and I was already talking about stuff that people were kind of like, yeah, this is what I struggle with, but it's not as talked about in social media. Things just kind of went really well. So it was easy to sell that much money. Then I fucked up because this is where the 73 hours a week came in, because I just kept selling and selling and selling for the money. And then it hit a point where I was like, I literally cannot fit any more people in my calendar. And I didn't take any clients on for a year because I was just seeing out everyone else's contracts. And that's where I had to bring coaches on. And then it got convoluted. And one of the coaches who was in America, we had to fire because she ended up trying to steal my business. It turns out that she hated men and she really just didn't want to do anything to help my business grow, but she wanted to do everything to help her business grow. And I was getting a lot of information from people that she was talking to that didn't really land with them. And it was about me in the business and it wasn't a great situation. So we ended up moving on from them because of basically gender discrimination. And there was just a fucking shit show through the whole thing. I love simplifying things. I love simplifying things, full stop, new story. When things weren't going that great, I had to move to Neilon, who was my VA, basically, or the business coordinator. And she'd been with me from the beginning. Like, she's been with me for fucking ages. And that was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to do. I stopped paying myself so that I could pay her. And it just hit a point where, like, I literally was, I couldn't give up the house. I couldn't give up the life I had built. So I had to let her go. And that was one of the toughest business decisions I had ever made, because it legitimately was not personal. And I wanted to keep her on. I wanted to do everything to get the money to keep her on, to pay her and just do all the stuff, because she deserves it. She's awesome. And I couldn't do that. And that kind of broke me for a little bit. And I hated everything about it. It also kind of has that weird feeling to it, because now our business is very simple, because there's no overheads. There's no other employees. It's just me. It's back to like a few years back before I hired people. To it's just me. And I do what I want now. And there's way less overheads. So I need less clients and it's a lot less stressful. So life in general feels a lot better. So hopefully building up to a point where we can work together again. But for right now, I obviously have to focus on myself and my business. But yeah, running a business is not for the fucking faint of heart. I love it and hate it at the same time. So much freedom, so much constraint. So yeah, I am also going to touch on, obviously, with the ADHD. It was, what am I saying? With the ADHD, taking the medication, things got a little bit easier. Through all of this, though, through the massive change that has happened, accepting the ADHD diagnosis and the medication, and then also the business that I have and where I am and what's going on and who I help. And I didn't even fucking answer that. Who I help. That was a massive version of like who I am. That's who I am. You're getting a mentally broken boy. So, or man now, because I'm 31. Getting a mentally broken man. That's who I am. I mainly help women. And this is one of my AMA questions at the end. Like, how did I end up working with so many female clients? I like to describe it as I get along with people because of my mentality. I get along with women because I have a bit more feminine energy than I do, quote, masculine energy. So I'm not trying now. I'm not trying to be the best and be egotistical and try and flex and show how much muscle I've got and this and that. I like to kind of just keep things simple. I like to talk. I like to ask things. And I don't know what it is. I tend to just have, as it's been described to me, I just kind of have this vibe about me that makes me easy to talk to. And I'm very non-judgmental. I don't make people feel bad for things. And particularly with usually the male clients that women have been working with previously that are just kind of scumbags, just kind of pieces of shit, very unethical. When they meet me, it's the exact opposite of that. And there's no judgment. There's no making you feel guilty for doing stuff. It's just like, hey.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Let's talk about this and this and this. Oh, by the way, weight's been down. Do you know where you are in your cycle? And just things that just make it very easy to talk about that are typically like taboo or you didn't talk about with previous trainers. So I felt like with that, I kind of just naturally... Plus 60 odd percent of people that hire a personal trainer are women. So naturally there's more women than men looking for a personal trainer and health coach. So naturally that helps out. But yeah, since I hate not knowing things, whenever I had a client that was obviously female, had a menstrual cycle, I couldn't figure out why the fuck they weren't lifting as heavy or why they would feel like this. Or one day they'd say this and then like 2 weeks later, it would be completely different. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then, yeah, after talking to them to be like, what is going on? It would eventually just pick up a pattern of like, oh, I'm coming into my period or I'm on my period or this and that, and not knowing how to respond to them and be like, okay, cool. Well, do you need to do anything? Do you need to like, and being, I felt like I was making it even worse because I was awkward about it. So I started looking into it. How do hormones affect the menstrual cycle? How do they affect like cravings and thoughts and physiology? And do they make the scales go up and this and that? And like just kind of putting it all together to then be like, oh, okay. Now, X amount of years later, I have a pretty damn good base and foundation for women's health. And it is so goddamn interesting. I find the topic so interesting. So yeah, that's how I kind of came to work with so many female clients, is I felt like I was making the conversation awkward by not knowing things about like their menstrual cycle when they would bring it up. So I started researching more and more and more about it. And then I started talking online about it to be like, hey, I learned this thing. Or did you know when it comes to the menstrual cycle, this does ba-da-da-da. And then naturally more women just started following me because I'm talking about women's health. And here we are. I also had no idea I'd be playing Dungeons and Dragons and DMing it and having the fucking time of my life. And at the start, I was like, I don't want anyone to know I play Dungeons and Dragons and D&D and stuff. That's nerdy. That's for nerd people. And now, like 4 years later, I'm like, I'm a nerd. It's all me. I love nerding. This is how I DM. This is how I Dungeon Master. Here are the voices that I do. Absolutely everything. I love everything about it. If I could, this is my dream that I said. I said it to Beth last night because I was preparing for this episode and I was like, don't make a fucking face at me because I know you're going to make that face. But I'll tell you that in a second. A part of my dream is also to just be like, I wish I could be a full-time content creator just about like Daggerheart and D&D and just put shit together out there in the world for people to watch and enjoy. I feel like because of how creative I am, I would be very good at coming up with campaign frames particularly for Daggerheart. Like I've got this one at the moment for Daggerheart, which I'm homebrewing and running through all that stuff. I just like building and creating things. So I feel like it would be fun to create content around. For example, you've probably seen the Greek vase vlog that I'm doing. I haven't done a vlog since I was ever. I haven't ever done a vlog. And this is the first vlog I'm doing. Of course, it's about 3D printing a Greek vase. So I want to do that because it's just really fun. And I don't like not being good at something, but I'm okay with figuring it out if I'm having fun, if that makes any sense. If I'm having fun while learning something, then fantastic, it's no issue. But if it is a very serious topic that I have to know about, then yes, I have to be good at it immediately. If I'm going to chuck something up, I have to be good at it. Like drumming, I knew it was going to take forever to be able to learn a song and play a song. I'm still not even good at it. And I've been playing for like a year. And that frustrates me because I want to be better. But I know the only way I'm going to get better is by doing more and more and more time and putting everything together. So yeah, that's annoying. But my other dream, my big dream, my thing that I'm kind of aiming for at the moment and is kind of I'm repositioning the business and my life to get here is recently, this year, because work has been a lot better, because I've been a lot happier, because I've been stress-free and doing some stuff, I've started waking up about 5:15 a.m. and going to the gym, working out, coming home. And I get home just as Beth is like waking up. Some of the best mornings that I've had in like this year in recent memory have been going to the gym, working out super early, feeling really good from the gym, and then coming home. And even if I don't feel great at the gym, coming home and then just being like, oh, fuck, okay, it's like 7 o'clock. This is awesome. Coming home from the gym of having a good workout and then going to the shops beforehand to get lunch and shit, but just helping Beth get ready for the day, feeding the puppies, like putting their, because they've got snoods on because they're Cocker Spaniels and they have the world's largest ears. Putting their snoods on, which is fucking adorable. I need to show some people putting their snoods on. But putting their snoods on so that, for those of you who don't know what a snood is, it's basically like a giant bandana that you put over their head or like a scarf that you put over their head and it tucks their ears in. So that way when they're eating or drinking, none of the mess or anything gets in their ears. It protects their ears from dropping into their food, basically. And it looks adorable. It looks like a tiny scarf. And the best memories or the best moments that I've had in the past, oh my God. The best memories that I have had or the best moments that I have had in recent memory, there we go, have been going to the gym, working out, feeling good, and then getting home, getting the puppies ready, like giving them breakfast, helping them out, and then also making lunch for Beth and then just kind of idling in the morning, pottering around while there's a bit of chaos going on, letting the chaos be chaos, but organizing everyone and then going, okay, on your way. So I said to Beth last night, one of my dreams is to have like two group calls going at once. So it would be like, just because these are the two programs I've got going right now, I would have like the 6 week reset, which would be on Tuesdays at 7:30 PM. And then Thursday at say like 10 AM to be able to hit as many time zones as possible. And then running at the same time, I would have Simply Happy and Healthy, my 12 week program that would go at like 10 AM Tuesday, 7:30 PM Thursday. So then I know Tuesday, Thursday, they're my days that I'm in the office. I need to be on calls and blah and blah, but it would also give me enough time. Hopefully that would give me enough freedom and income to be able to maintain what I have at the moment. Like let's just say whatever income that I need, it makes me enough money to do that and just constantly run them and fill up those intakes. Because then I know I basically have four calls I need to prep for every single week, and it's group, so it's not as intense. And I could, in the Discord, I could message people, like adjust their calories, do screen recordings, do all that stuff, but there's less face-to-face time with clients. I have more freedom and flexibility with my schedule. Then, this is the big part of the dream that I'm working towards, and I can kind of see it happening, so fucking bear with me for a second. Getting the kids ready for school and getting Beth ready for work. And she goes, so you want to be a house husband? I'm like, I would fucking love that. And I'm sure at some point, I am going to regret saying that. But of course, I'm not thinking about, you know, when the kids are annoying and they're like one or two, or like they're just fucking little balls of goo and you're like, don't press their head in a weird spot because they'll self-implode. Not that part. That's fucking terrifying. But when they get to like three or four, let's say, when they start going to school, I can, or kindergarten or whatever the fuck it is, being out, you can tell I'm going to be a great dad. Being able to get them ready for school and help them do whatever they need to do, because I have that flexibility and freedom to pack their lunches, like get the school bag ready, do all that stuff, get them to school. And I know that everyone is like, oh, I'm rushing because I'm going to be late to work or this and that, or like, we've got to get you to school on time and blah, blah, blah. I absolutely completely get where the stress is going to be coming from. If I have the flexibility where I don't have to be at work at nine on the dot, then fantastic. I'm taking that stress out of myself. Then I can kind of just, you know, put it back on the kid and be like, well, you're going to fucking blah, blah, blah. But I'm a natural smart ass, so probably not good. But that's kind of my dream. I want to have these four calls, like a few things here and there, but have a lot of flexibility in my work life so that I can spend more time with the kids and being a house husband, so I can cook them dinner, so that when Beth is on her way home from work, I can basically just go, cool, I'm going to start dinner. I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get the kids to do this. I'm going to blah, 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 because I like routine. Yes, it's annoying sometimes when I have to change some things, and I can immediately see the issue of like 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday calls, but kids will be hopefully in bed by then, and they'll just have to fucking deal if I'm not able to be like, oh, Dad, what's going on here? They can just fucking deal on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Everything else, though, that's kind of where I want to be. That's kind of where I am ready to move to. But that's not going to be for at least a year, because we have agreed, as much as agreements go, we are not getting pregnant before the wedding, because we are getting married in October of 2026. So no kids before then, because fucking finances. Plus, it's only a year away, and you don't exactly want to be pregnant looking for a wedding dress. But hey. So, I know that this is me rambling about a whole bunch of random shit all at once, but I hope it has given you some idea as to who I am and who I help. How I help, potentially, you is, I'm going to keep this super simple. The Unfuck Yourself program is the easiest way to say it, and that is my keystone one-on-one coaching program that goes for 6 or 12 months. I talk to you. We have a call every single week, 45 minutes, and we run through the goods and bads and keep it simple and just come up with a plan for what is the week ahead. Where do you want to be? How do we get you there? All that fun shit. And I am going to start posting some more like behind the scenes of coaching calls and things, of how I help people shift their perspective actually on a coaching call. I go through their spreadsheet, which has their calories, macros, sleep, cycle, energy, mood, hunger. It has fucking everything in there. And it feels overwhelming at the start, but you don't have to put everything in there. And if it feels overwhelming, I take everything away and just go, let's just focus on this. Because the program or the coaching philosophy that I have is, this is all about you. Everything is hyper-optimized for you. It's not, I have this program, you have to stick to it. Here's the template. You've got to fucking do it. Everyone else can. It's not that at all. For Unfuck Yourself, the one-on-one, it is definitely, and for other programs I have, but I'm going to try and stay on task here. For the Unfuck Yourself, it is built on you, the conversation we have, the communication we have, and the questionnaire that you send me beforehand. I usually end up asking more questions once I get the questionnaire to clarify some things to build out your program. There's a gym program, like workout program. You don't have to go to the gym. You can do stuff at home. Most people honestly sign up for the nutrition and the mindset. And when it comes to working out, it's something that we typically work on, because most people don't already go to the gym. They want to go to the gym and be that person, but there is a mental, emotional barrier there that we have to break down first or unpack to figure out what's going on. Why is it there? Okay, let's maybe start with XYZ to just get you there. And for some people, they want the 4 or 5 days a week, 60-minute sessions, and then I'll program that. For other people, it is, I just want you to go to the gym one time this week and 10 minutes on the treadmill, 5 minutes on the treadmill, whatever it is. Even just go there, put your stuff in the locker, go to the toilet, come back out, check your phone and just go, oh, and like pretend that something popped up, grab your stuff and leave. I just want you to tag in at the gym this week. So it all depends on where you are and where you want to be. And I just help you take one step every single time to close that gap to where you ideally want to be, to make me redundant, which is my biggest kind of calling card or like unique selling point, I guess. I actually make myself redundant for my clients, which is really cool to say. I don't like giving people things that are going to make them stuck. Or if they are, then I have an offboarding plan for it that you don't need me for. So calorie and macro tracking, yes, I typically start with that because you know what you like and you eat and all you have to do is just basically weigh it and chuck it in the app and then I'll come in and make some small suggestions or swaps. So you're creating your own meals. I'll help you create them through like everything as well if you want. But most people, they're like, yeah, Tuesday is a taco day or Monday we normally do like a steak and this and that. People typically already have a routine and schedule they do. It's just about then very slowly but surely optimizing it for your health. So it's still the exact same shit that you're doing, maybe with just like a swap or two every single day. And then you just do that forever and then you're done. And I make it sound way too easy. But then again, I love simplifying stuff. And while we're doing that and the movement and the nutrition are on autopilot in the background, while you just naturally live your life and just weigh things and track things and just send it through every week, then we focus on the coaching calls, the big things to be like, okay, how are you feeling? How are you sleeping? What's been going on? Maybe we should do something that's not workout nutrition of just losing weight. Maybe this week we focus on, hey, I just want you to go rock climbing on Saturday. It's not just about weight loss. That is the biggest reason why people sign up. Most people sign up though, because of the way that I approach weight loss. I'm still saying we, even though it's just me now. It's not about losing weight as quickly as possible because I haven't had a single client in a decade of doing this that has hit their goal weight and then gone, fantastic, I'm happy now, life is way better. Every single person who has lost weight with me has ended up feeling happier by focusing on how are they losing the weight instead of the actual weight loss goal. Almost every single person who has hit their goal, they've gone, oh yeah, no, that's kind of cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't even realize. Like most people are kind of just like, probably like 50%. 50% of people are, the weight just becomes such a non-factor and they go, oh yeah, like it has been going down. It has been doing this and that's awesome. But yeah, I didn't realize how far we'd come. And towards the end of the program, if it's 6 or 12 months, towards the end of it, I always have a bit of like a transition or an offboarding thing to be like, okay, how do we get you away from calorie macro tracking? Like if you were to do this by yourself without me here, let's have a day where we don't track anything and just see how you go. And then we take a weekend day away and then we just kind of compound and add all that up to the point where it's now you are just doing your lifestyle. You don't need me anymore because you've figured out if you want to lose weight and you want to track calories, you can do that. If you want to eat intuitively and maintain, you can do that. If you want to go to the gym, you now can do that. You've got the skill to be able to go to the gym. If you want to pause it and do some stuff at home or just take some time for yourself and save money on a membership, you can do that too. It's just giving you back control and giving you the power to be able to make that decision yourself of what do you want to do and knowing that you can do it because you've literally just done it. I also then have support after the program. Like just because you're not paying me anymore doesn't mean I'm not going to fucking help you. Like that's not how this works. I've helped you with the pretense that yes, we're going to be doing this. So if there's any questions after that, like I'm still in contact with clients from like fucking 2 years ago. And they're like, hey, saw this pop up, thought of you. And I'm like, yep, cool. How's things going? Yeah, everything's all good, blah, 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 blah. And it's just, you know, some people are just like, hey, I'm doing this new thing at a different gym because I want to lose like 5 kilos for this thing coming up. Can you take a look at my macros? And I'm like, yep, sure, no worries. Go over it, review, send them a video or just like, yep, that all looks good. Don't forget to, when we worked last time, you did this, make sure you are focusing on blah. Otherwise, looks awesome, have fun with it. And that's it as well. Like there's support after the fact as well. So it's not just pay me for 6 months, I'll help your life just in 6 months. This is absolutely a forever type of thing, which is obviously why I charge a lot more than a typical personal trainer or health coach or whatever, because it fucking works in making me redundant and it's a terrible business model. And the fact that it works, like a terrible business model and it works, yeah, I need to charge to be able to have someone come in and it still make me pay my bills, which is why I'm moving more into like group coaching to make it more affordable. But I'm trying to figure out a way to have the group coaching be as effective as one-on-one. It is, I've come to terms that it's never going to be because one-on-one is one-on-one compared to group. But with my philosophy of helping everyone and personalizing it with Simply Happy and Healthy, the 12-week version, the 12-week program, and then the 6-week reset, obviously the 6-week one, there's still personalized coaching in there. It's a group call every single week for both of them, but there is also live, well, and that's live coaching. But there's also, you can message me at any point and I'll review anything. I will answer questions for you. I become your coach through message instead of like constant email check-ins and constant calls and constant updates and everything. It becomes a fucking Nutrigrain slogan where it's like, you get out what you put in. And I'll still personalize all that information for you as best as I can, because I just like doing that. So yeah, I hope that helps give you a bit of perspective into who I am, what I do. And if not, message me on Instagram. And if I didn't answer anything that you felt that I should have asked or that you would have liked answered or just known about me, then message me on Instagram and let me know. Travis Murrells, MURRELLS _. And yeah, I will answer that for you or put it in a different podcast and we can do that together. Most of these podcasts are going to be like this in the sense of just kind of like listening to a voice note from a friend. Because I like them to be a little bit more relaxed. I don't really want to have the fake talking points and stuff. There might be stuff that I bring up every day. So to quickly finish off, the Ask Me Anything, one of them was, how did I end up working with so many female clients? I feel like I already answered that one. The first one, most embarrassing gym story. I don't have, or at least remember, I've blocked them out apparently, many embarrassing gym stories. The two that come to mind when I read this question were my 57-second gym session, which if you've been following me for a while, like on my old account and on TikTok, you'll be pretty familiar with this. But for those of you who aren't, because there's 6,400 of you that are brand new, welcome. My 57-second gym session was when I was struggling massively with mental health and I thought people could hear my thoughts. And one of the things that I said, if I'm going to play video games all goddamn day, one of the first things I have to do is go to the gym. And I'm not allowed to play any video game or anything, not even on my phone, until I have gone to the gym and worked out. And I've done something at the gym. And the next day, I took my mum's gym tag and I went to the gym. Pulled up in the Camry that I used to sleep in when I was homeless and broke down in tears in the parking lot in my car. For 30 minutes about that, and was just crying about how fucking impossible it was going to be to climb those stairs. And eventually somewhat calmed down, got up, tagged in, put my stuff in the, like as I'm tagging in, it does the beep, open the door, and the manager goes, hi, how you going? And I just kind of like smiled and just went, yeah. And I immediately went, oh my God, she can hear my fucking thoughts about everything negative that I was saying about myself and how it's not going to work and everyone's going to make fun of me and blah, blah, blah. And I immediately just remember that moment going, fuck, she can hear what I'm thinking. And I put my stuff in like the little cubby holder thing, went to the toilet and kind of put myself in the, I didn't put myself in the toilet. I put myself in the bathroom and locked the door and I could feel a panic attack coming on because new environment, it was loud and I didn't know where anything was. I hadn't been to this specific gym before or like in years. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be fucking awful. Borderline having a panic attack in the bathroom. And I know that it was 57 seconds because as I was walking up to the thing, I went, I want to make sure that I do 5 minutes. So I'm going to start timing myself on my phone, opened up my phone, the clock app, and then just hit start, like on the stopwatch. As I tagged in, this is where this all happens. Go to the bathroom, basically have a panic attack, and then just kind of speed walk out, grab my stuff and leave. And as I'm about to have this fucking panic attack and my eyes are swelling up with tears, I look down at my phone and I can just see it going 56. 57 as I cross over the threshold of the fucking door, 58. And then I was like, I didn't even get a fucking minute. Are you kidding me? And then all the thoughts were way worse from there. Went back to my car, got in, put the little visor down as if that was going to make any difference, but put the visor down, put my hoodie back on, and I cried for another 30 minutes. And I knew that I wasn't getting back up the stairs because that would be even more embarrassing. So I drove home and just played video games for the next 13 hours. Woke up the next day, basically did the exact same thing, but it was like a minute four. And the first thing that went through my head was like, well, it's better than a minute. And then it kind of just went from there and it just snowballed and got more and more and more. That's my 57-second gym session story. The second one, again, embarrassing and also kind of in the dark point of mental health. Yes, it was a big part of mental health, was a big part of me. But this moment is where things turned around because I was doing like an interview for the Fitness Genie at the gym that I was working at, which is still the one that I'm at the moment. And the interviewer just asked me a question, like it was a little promo piece to be like, oh, this is my program and here are the clients I work with and blah, blah, blah. The interviewer asked me a question of how did I get here? And I don't know why, but I immediately just got hit with that question in my chest. And everything came crumbling down in that moment because I was like, yep, sweet. I'm going to like do arms before this and look all good and fancy and this and that, whatever. And then he goes, how did you get here? And the first thing that went through my mind was, well, I tried to not be here. That's how I got here. Like I just survived. I didn't really plan any of this out. I kind of just put one foot in front of the other, figured it out because it was better than dying. That was immediately what went through my mind. And what actually happened was I went, so, and then I just broke down. And trying to hold back the tears, which was useless, I ended up crying. And then I finished the interview while crying. And I basically just said, so I've tried to not be here twice. And I just opened up. This was the first time that I had opened up about my mental health in any capacity. And I still have the video that he ended up turning into the promo piece for like for my program. I still have that video. I just haven't posted it on the new Instagram account. But yeah, I opened up about my mental health and everything about how like I was homeless. I didn't want to be here, about my depression, anxiety, and how I'd lost jobs and everything, and just kind of pieced it all together. And after we basically cut on that thing, he said, I had no idea about any of it. He goes, "You thank you for being so vulnerable and honest with stuff." He's like, I've got heaps of footage there that if you're okay, like I'm going to take that and run with it. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Just send me whatever you do before obviously we release stuff and whatever. But yeah, he was like, I had no idea about any of that. He goes, you held it together so well. And I would have never have guessed that all the shit that you've been through, because you just seem so happy. And I was like, yeah, well, so did Robin Williams. And that's kind of why I am the Fitness Genie, is because of Robin Williams, because he also reminds me of my dad. And all three of us, not the mentally healthiest people, but yeah, also very similar kind of personalities and humor styles. But there's no way I'm going to be able to fucking keep up with Robin Williams' energy. Well, now I will, but but definitely not back in the day. But yeah, so they were probably the two things that would be my most embarrassing gym story of my 57-second gym session, breaking down, having a panic attack, and then, hey, why not have another goddamn breakdown while I'm working at that gym as a personal trainer in an interview about my mental health. So other than that, I don't really have a lot of embarrassing gym stories because I kind of just find little mistakes and things funny. The last one is, what's your favorite thing about what I do? Without saying helping people. My favorite thing about what I do is I get to be a nerd. I get to be my inner child, basically. It's something that I learned through therapy. Is I just get to, now that I have an idea of who I am, I just get to be me. And I get to show people that. And I get to have clients and a business and a job and a life that is basically just off the back of, I like doing this thing. It makes me fun and happy. I'm going to show you how to do the same. And I get to connect with people over fucking Dungeons and Dragons while working out with them. I get clients that are very interested in my hobbies just by me being me, just by showing up and just doing random shit and having fun. So that would probably be the favorite thing about what I do. If I'm saying like not helping people, it would just purely be, I get to have fun. And considering where I've been in my past, it honestly feels like I just get to be a kid again. Obviously there's more responsibilities, but it feels like I just get to be a kid. And I just get to keep things simple. I just get to help people. I'm not going to say that. I'm not allowed to. I can be myself as a kid and just enjoy life and end up working with clients who vibe with that because they feel the same. So yeah, I get to enjoy my life. I'm going to leave it at that. So yeah, I don't know what to do now. Been talking for an hour, fucking 20 nonstop. Jesus, no wonder my throat hurts. Yeah. I hope this gave you some sort of insight as to who I am, how I help. Wow. Let me say that whole thing again. Who I am, who I help, and how I help you. If it didn't and you have unanswered questions from any of this, message me on Instagram. My notifications are off on TikTok for obvious reasons, with the amount of followers I have over there, then also the notifications. Plus, I'm spending a lot more time on Instagram because I like the stories. I like the behind the scenes and I can just take a snap and then it's there and done. Easy. So yeah, if you want to talk about anything, message me on Instagram. If you haven't followed the podcast, make sure to give it a follow, rate it 5 stars. If you're going to do 4, don't even worry about it. Don't even think about it. But yeah, I'm going to be doing more podcasts very soon. They're probably going to be a lot shorter than this one, but I really just wanted to get this one out because I've been panicking over doing it for a while to be like, oh, fuck, who am I and who do I help? I'm going to screw it up and this and that. But I feel like this is kind of my vibe. I don't have to have a massive professional elevator pitch or anything like that. I tend to just fuck around and have fun with it and end up finding out in a very positive way. So if you want to do that, feel free to follow along. If you're not already, if you want some more information on coaching, I'm sure I've put a link in bio somewhere or any Instagram post. If you just comment Genie or again, just fucking DM me and message me. I'm very open. I manage my inbox. It's not some random person. It is all me. So yeah, if you have questions on anything, you want more info or you want to start working together or get some like prices and all that stuff, message me, let me know. Find a link in bio for whatever the fuck is going on at the moment, depending on where you're listening to this in the world and then also what time frame as well. But yeah, that is it for right now. The first episode of the rebrand, episode 178. Crazy. Your unreasonable best friend, Travis Murrells. Feels weird. Anywho, hope you have the best time in the world and I'll see you all in the next one.